Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program Shannon Hart, who is VP of Product Management at Mercurygate. And today we're going to be talking about streamlining the transportation procurement process. And in many ways, when you think about transportation procurement, it truly is kind of at the beginning or the front end of the transportation lifecycle management process. And, you know, it kind of sets the stage for both the planning and the execution of transportation operations. So getting that front end done right, done in a streamlined fashion, and as accurately as possible, you know, it's critically important because that really does set the stage for everything that takes place after that. So great to have Shannon with us here today. Shed some light on, what she sees out in the marketplace in terms of how companies are managing their transportation procurement processes, what kind of new and improved ways companies are implementing, the process to be able to, again, get the most out of the procurement operations, not only at the front end, but, you know, as an ongoing process. Just want to remind those of you that, part of our goal here at, Talking Logistics is that, we want to make this conversational. So if you are joining us live today, if you've got a question for Shannon, you can do so via the submit a question button. And if it's a good and appropriate question, I'll try to weave it into the conversation. So with that, Shannon, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Adrian.
So Shannon, like I always do with all kind of first time guests, I always like to get a little bit of background just to understand, how and why you even got involved with supply chain and logistics. So why don't you briefly tell us a little bit about your career path, again, how and why you got involved in this industry, and kind of what your current role and responsibilities are there at Mercurygate?
Sure. So actually, I got into logistics completely accidentally. Like many of the people that I've worked with since beginning my career in logistics, I didn't actually start out thinking that that's what I would do. So I started out working at J.B. Hunt in the automotive department when I was in school because I could work swing shifts. And I never really thought of it as a career path because I was actually planning on getting my graduate degree in psychology. But I got interested in the problems that I saw when I was working there, and I became part of the team that helped start up J.B. Hunt Logistics. So that was really exciting because it was a new division. And I got the opportunity after that to move to North Carolina and help start up another logistics company, which was Cardinal Logistics. And then we started an online TMS that was associated with that called Click Logistics. So that pretty much furthered my interest in solving transportation problems with software. And I ended up working at Mercurygate. And now I work on new product development.
You know, great trajectory there. And, certainly J.B. Hunt's a great company. A lot of great logistics folks, get their start there at J.B. Hunt. And obviously you did as well. And, ultimately, starting from the operations side, and then a lot of folks, just like yourself, end up on the technology side as well. And
yeah.
Obviously there's so much, synergy between the two, the operations and technology. So let's kind of talk about the topic now, transportation procurement. Like I mentioned in my opening remarks, it really is in many ways kind of the first step in the transportation lifecycle, process. It's where you kind of get your rates. It's kind of where you kind of, take a step back and look at your network and try to figure out, how you're going to go about planning and executing your transportation operations in the coming year. So kind of the basic question is, as you're working with different companies out in the industry, what are some of the main challenges companies face when they're getting started with transportation procurement?
Sure. I think to an extent, it depends on whether you're talking about 3PLs or you're talking about shippers. So 3PLs kind of tend to lead in terms of the technology that they bring to bear in problem solving. So I think that for 3PLs, they generally have a defined process and resources that are associated with procurement, basically because it's their bread and butter. But for shippers, frequently they just don't have any resources at all. So of course, we may see this change if all the dire predictions about driver capacity come to fruition. But right now, it's generally an activity that they have somebody do in their spare time. So there's just not really a recognition of it as an important part of their strategic planning. That's going to impact not only their costs, but also how well they can service their customers. So I would say that the main challenges are within the organization itself, just recognizing it as important.
Yeah, that's interesting. Certainly if you're a 3PL, like you said, that's their bread and butter, particularly those that have, both a buy side and a sell side. So they really have to do that kind of, analysis, if you will, and understand, that core part of their business. I'm surprised that, a lot of shippers, don't, prioritize, procurement as much as they should. I mean, certainly I think when I look at some of the large companies, some of the more sophisticated ones certainly do, but I think you're right. There might be other companies that, it's a less developed, process for them. They don't have the dedicated resource, let's say, or perhaps even the right tools to do it effectively, which kind of leads me to my next question. I mean, how do you see companies managing, the procurement process today? I mean, is this still an area where kind of Excel spreadsheets still rule? And then what are some of the shortcomings, involved, inherent in some of those manual processes?
Yeah, that is absolutely the case. I mean, you may have noticed as well, American Shipper does an annual survey on transportation procurement, and two in five of the shippers still feel pretty satisfied with their Excel spreadsheets or their manual processes. So, again, you can see a kind of opposing forces operating on the market in the future. I mean, on the one hand, you have what may be really significant issues with capacity. And then on the other hand, you have the era of Amazon Prime, which I love, by the way, which has really raised the bar in terms of expectations on delivery speed. So, one of the main shortcomings with the manual method is that they just don't allow shippers to react quickly enough. So, you might have an excess of capacity available that you could take advantage of in the market and perhaps maybe introduce new carriers into the mix, but you're not able to support those kinds of changes with a manual process. At the same time, you could have carriers who aren't living up to their commitments, and you have to kind of scramble at the last minute to try to find carriers on a load-by-load basis, and that can become extremely expensive, as you can imagine.
It sounds like, part of it is that, the transportation environment is becoming much, number one, much more complex. Number two, much more dynamic. And I think number three, I think you alluded to this a little bit there in your last comment, is that a lot of times, you really have to almost integrate, business intelligence and reporting in terms of what's happening out on a day-to-day basis that can then feed back into the procurement process, right? If things aren't going as originally planned, you may need to go out to the market again to heal lanes that might be not performing as well, or carriers are not meeting their commitments, so on and so forth. I mean, do you see that as kind of a one of the downfalls, if you will, of manual processes if you don't have that connection, let's say, with a TMS and real-time data and information about what's happening in operations?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Again, it all leads to that issue of not being able to really respond appropriately and quickly enough to the changes that we see.
Speaking of complexity, I mean, another thing that we're seeing a lot now with shippers is, obviously they're, a few years ago they might have been, strictly truckload and less than truckload, but today, with e-commerce, whether you're retail or even manufacturers or 3PLs, parcels becoming a bit a bigger part of their mix. A lot of small and mid-sized companies that weren't global a few years ago, now they're, getting more involved with ocean. I mean, do procurement processes differ by mode? I mean, if your transportation operations include truckload, less than truckload, parcel, ocean, I mean, how can you structure, I mean, how do you see companies structure their procurement events if in that kind of multi-mode environment?
Sure, and it absolutely does. I mean, it's mainly about how you interact with the carriers, as there, are different expectations for different modes. So, for instance, you know that your national LTL carriers have a much higher degree of sophistication in terms of responding to RFPs than, the mom and pop carriers that you're likely to deal with for truckload shipments. So, the basic elements and the steps of the bid are going to be the same, but the information that's used and how it's analyzed can be quite different. So these kinds of differences can really, kill your workflow if they're not addressed in a way that's specific to the mode that you're working with. So what you want to do is you want to make sure you structure the information in a way that's really consumable for the carriers that you need to work with.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll get back to that in terms of the perspective of the carriers. But so if you had to boil it down, I mean, what do you see as the most critical factors for success in planning and executing a transportation procurement event?
I mean, I would say that benchmarking is one of them, both, internal and external benchmarking. A lot of people forget to start with that step, and it's a really basic one. Another one is spending the time to look for carriers that can fill your needs and want the freight rather than sending out a blanket bid to a lot of carriers that aren't interested. And it just becomes noise and additional work for you to manage in the process. And of course, the last one, as you might expect, I would say, is just to make sure that you have the tools that you need to make the process really worth the time that you're going to invest in it.
Yeah, no, so I agree with those three points. Another area that I see, I'm just curious if you see this with your client base as well, the shippers you work with, or even the 3PLs, is so it's kind of related to benchmarking, and that is kind of network design, right? And understanding what your transportation network looks today and maybe what it might look like a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, so that you're kind of positioning your carrier networks and kind of where your procurement events in such a way that aligns well with your network.
Yeah,
Is that something you're seeing?
I think that absolutely. I mean, people, of course, we have a lot more investment in TMS than we've had in the past. I mean, I think one of the things that you probably recognize, and I certainly do, is that transportation has historically been the department that is the least able to get technology and the least interested in moving to technology solutions. So I feel like, though, that of course TMS has almost become something that is kind of standard for shippers today. So they have the information available today that they didn't before to be able to try to, do some of those things that you're talking about that weren't possible for them in the past when they would have been just taking those bills of lading and typing them into spreadsheets to try to get that kind of information.
Right, I think you raise a good point that really I think it's a symbiotic relationship. In many ways, if you're doing a procurement event and you come out of a procurement engagement, but you don't have a TMS, then you're not going to be able to capture the savings or be able to execute on what the outcome of the procurement event. And then the flip side is if you don't have a TMS, you don't have that data and information to help you plan for the procurement event in the first place. So you really need to marry the two. So now that we're talking about technology, I mean, obviously technology plays a key role here, and you kind of touched upon it a little bit here, kind of the evolution of TMS and as well as procurement solutions, playing an important role in helping companies streamline and the transportation procurement process. I mean, what are some of the capabilities that companies should look for in a transportation procurement solution?
So I would say that the first thing that people generally think of is the optimization, the cost optimization. And of course, that's important. But I would say that it's less about that and more about the real world constraints that you have. So the reason I say that is that no matter how great the optimization is that you do, if it doesn't result in an executable plan that's going to meet your service criteria, or it doesn't, the carrier doesn't have the ability to serve up that capacity, it's really just a wasted effort. So I would say it's less about the cool factor, and more about what's real. So you want to look for software that allows you to bring information in from wherever it lives, and be able to use that information to apply the constraints and preferences that are important for your business, whether it's things like certain carriers that you don't want to use because you've had too many claims with them, or you want to have a certain percentage of minority carriers, or you want to limit the amount of freight that you give a carrier based on what their tender acceptance rate was last year. So I think all of those real world constraints are the things that are really important to be considering as you look at those kinds of solutions.
Yeah, great point. I mean, what I always tell, companies is, the outcome of a transportation procurement event is really just a plan, right? And whatever savings or benefits come out of that, they're all planned savings. You still now have to go and execute on that, right? And if your preferred carrier on a lane is continuously rejecting the load and you're dropping down to, the third, the fourth, or the fifth carrier, a lot of those savings that were you were expecting are going to start, eroding, right? So it's really, like to your point, it's really having that insight, that data, that analysis, so that when you're preparing, for that procurement event, you're really leveraging that, that historical data as well as kind of the future-looking forecast to bring those two things together, as part of the process. We're kind of coming short on time here. I just got a couple of more questions. I mean, when you going back to kind of the carrier side of things, obviously they're part of the process too, right? So I think a lot of times we always tend to think about the shipper or the 3PL, right? But the trucking companies themselves, the LTL carriers, so on and so forth. I mean, they're at the other end of this process, and they need to have a streamlined and effective process there as well. I mean, what's important for them in terms of making the process easy and productive as possible for them?
Sure. I mean, when you put yourself in the position of a carrier, I mean, you can see that obviously they're looking for business, right? But they can be overwhelmed by the number of bids that they receive. So anything you can do to make it easier for the carrier is going to increase their ability to give you really quality responses because they're going to be, looking for the ones that are really interesting to them. So I would say that the first thing you want to do is to make sure that you target the right carriers. So, and then you also want to make sure that you give them as much information as you can about your requirements. And if you do that, you're going to relieve a lot of the back and forth that takes up a lot of that, the time during that bid process. So being sure that you give them the information about the requirements, and then if you do multiple rounds, making sure that they understand where they stand in the process, those are important things to kind of streamline the process. It's definitely better to have them, tell them everything up front and then have them quote accordingly than, like we were talking about before, than leaving off some of the requirements and then have an unhappy surprise when they stop picking up your freight or ask for rate increases. So, I mean, in general, you just need to put yourself in the carrier's shoes and kind of go from there.
That's great advice. I mean, I think you just to underscore a point you just made, I think the more detailed information and comprehensive information you can provide a carrier, again, the more realistic picture of your operations you're giving them, and that way they're able to better determine how their network aligns with yours and be able to provide a bid or a response back that is going to be more executable at the end of the day than. You know, again, if you don't provide that level of detail, like things like seasonality, for example, or certain equipment requirements and so on and so forth, and those are some of the things that sometimes shippers aggregate a lot of information together. They might give like average demand, but don't show a carrier that you actually spike for 3 months of the year, right? Where you're going to need excess capacity during that period. So unless you provide that level of information, you're not going to get the most accurate results back. Shannon, just to as a way to wrap up, what questions should transportation executive ask, to assess the transportation procurement processes, whether they're best in class or if, they're behind the curve and need some improvement?
Sure. I mean, I think we've hit on a lot of these points. I think one thing that's really important is to make sure that you do have that capability to do the internal and external benchmarking. That's something you just don't want to skip out on. I think it's really important too to make sure that you can manage multiple modes. Of course, you want at least be able to take into account the ones that you use today. But again, as we look at, potential changes in terms of what's available for capacity and things like that, you may need to switch to another mode. You want to make sure that you're going to have that capability in the future to do, whatever you need to. I think another thing that we typically don't talk about until capacity gets tight is the relationship management, making sure that the carrier's needs are taken into account. And like I said, if capacity tightens further, you don't want to be left out in the cold. You want to make sure that you do have processes in place and the support for that relationship, whether that is just in terms of how you execute your bid or things that can strengthen your relationship, like scorecarding and, talking to the carriers to make sure that you're all on the same page.
Great, great, great words of advice and insight there. And again, in many ways, I mean, I tend to look at kind of a procurement engagement as an opportunity for shippers and carriers to really look for opportunities where they can create win-win opportunities, for both, right? And that's kind of the mechanism or platform, if you do it right, it's to spark those conversations and that kind of analysis on both sides to, again, make it a win for both parties. Well, Shannon, like I always say at the end of all our episodes, we always just manage to scratch the surface on these topics, but I think we provided some good food for thought and advice and ideas for companies to think about. So I want to thank you for making the time to be with us today.
Sure, great. Thanks for having me.
And I want to thank those of you that joined us live today. We didn't get any questions, but if you are watching this episode on demand and you've got a question for Shannon, you can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com and you can post a question or a comment there. And I'm sure that Shannon will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So again, thank you all for joining us today and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.